We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Welcome into another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. We, of course, are in fully in draft mode. I am one of your co-hosts, Matt Fralick. Alongside me, once again, Eli Berkovis, and our special draft guest, Rob Rieger, who's fresh off of just a radio media run this week, breaking down all the running backs, all the quarterbacks, everything. Obviously, we did quarterbacks last week, guys. This week is, you know, it's cool. We had like the quarterback class, right? So you go 15 to 25 prospects, whatever your list comes down to be. Our topic this week, as we talked about last week, is prospects to avoid. Now, that could be a laundry list of players. They could have off the field issues. Maybe they don't fit the certain RAS score. Maybe they do fit the RAS score, but they're not a good fit. I'm excited to see which direction we go. And now, we did talk about last week, Rob did have some hot takes going into the episode, which did get the buzz going as we promoted the episode on Saturday when it released. He did have one this week, Eli. A position group he said he's basically going to eviscerate. And I don't know which direction he's going to go. I was kind of thinking in my head all week what it could be. And you did the thing either right before we hopped in here. Hey, let's not share what players we have. We like to have secrets. Secrets are fun. I feel like at 33 years old, I don't get many secrets anymore. I love secrets. So I'm excited to see what position group we go into. Eli, and before we get going, do you have any guess of what position group Rob's going to kind of just crucify? Any ideas?
To eviscerate, I'll be honest, I understood it as in you were going to find the position group to like run through like a bunch of players today, like to go through, like to watch. Clearly I got that wrong, but if you were going to eviscerate a group in this draft, something that is first one that comes to mind, I think maybe the linebacker, inside linebacker group.
Okay. No, and to just reiterate, it's players that we don't think are good fit, but Rob's literally taking an entire position group, and in his words, I'm going to eviscerate an entire position group tomorrow. So maybe two, he even says. I forgot about that. So I don't know where the hell he's going to go. Linebacker, not a bad one. I think maybe an offensive position group, maybe the running backs. But we'll let Rob, I guess, we might as well start. Yeah. Rob, pick whichever position group, I guess, you're going to absolutely annihilate right now.
So what you were wrong, by the way, Eli, but you're kind of close. I mean, I do like some of the inside linebackers this year, but I have to just do it. I have to go safety. It's the position group that, unless you count Cooper DeJean as a safety, which I think he'll be better at safety than corner, but it looks like NFL teams are kind of looking at him as that Swiss Army knife. But I really don't like the safety position. I'm hoping that the Packers actually pick up another free agent. There's still a couple good ones out there that they can pick up. But, you know, Xavier McKinney was a great pickup for the team, because I'm just looking at the safeties. I'm like, man, like there's really – basically it comes down into two categories. The ones that are the best athletes, I don't feel have great instincts. And the guys that I feel have good instincts don't measure up athletically. So, I mean, if you just want to start there, you know, I look at the two guys that I feel instinctively have a leg up on some of the other guys. It's Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota and Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. So those are kind of the two guys that initially people are like, okay, well, these guys could probably slot into Jeff Hafley's defense. They could sit back there. But then, you know, you get to the athletic testing, which obviously is part of it. Like, I'm not one of these guys that doesn't feel like you – like, there's plenty of guys that are great college players, and maybe they can keep up and guard college-level players. But then once they get to that next level, they get exploited, and it happens all the time. You look at the RAS scores, Newbin, 3.72, Kitchens, 3.05. So that tells me that, yeah, you might be instinctive at the college level, but you're not going to be fast enough to get to some of the balls that you're getting to in college, because the quarterbacks are better, the receivers are faster. So your tips and your pass defenses at the college level are going to turn into touchdowns at the NFL level. The angles that you're taking on a tackle or that are tackles on college are going to turn into the ones where you just dive and miss at the shoelaces. So, you know, that's for me. I do like a couple guys. There's actually three that stand out, but we're not going to the guys we like, but I'm not eviscerating the entire position. I do like Bullard out of Georgia. I like Bullock out of USC. So I'm not saying everybody sucks. Jaden Hicks is pretty good too, but I feel like those guys might get overdrafted simply because of the lack of top quality people there. So everyone's just going to kind of move up the chain there. So you might see a Jaden Hicks get drafted early second round when he's really probably a late second to third round pick. You're going to see Bullard get picked a little higher than you necessarily expect. I don't think Newbin and Kitchens are going to go very high, because NFL teams do really look at that athletic score now, and they look at how fast these guys are running. So that's kind of my hot take on the safety position, but I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts.
No, I was going for a walk today in the middle of my work day, just kind of break this up, and I got to record tonight and everything else. And that was one of them, like, was the safety group. And I specifically didn't know which player I was going to attack per se. I was listening to an episode that Andy and Perry, and I forget who else was on the episode, Dusty, on Monday on the YouTube side, and they're talking about Kitchens and like, yeah, he's a great player, but that RAS score is super, super low. And you mentioned Newbin, same thing. And I didn't know specifically what player I kind of wanted to, you know, attack, but I do feel the same way, Rob. I was even looking back to like the 2019 draft where, right, the Packers draft Savage, and he's the first safety off the board, and it's like, was he the best safety at the time? Not necessarily sure. Jonathan Abram, people are high on. He's been up. I mean, he ended up being a Packer for a few seconds too. Like, it's one of those classes where you're like, damn, like the safeties just aren't overly talented. And even I'm going even back through now that safety class, like Juan Thornhill is really the only guy that's still making plays in this league. And I kind of look at it one of those same. There's a lot of athletic guys, but they maybe don't fit to the league. There's guys that have good instincts, but like you said, those pass breakups don't translate to the NFL. I think it's a really, really fair one to dive into, because I'm even looking through like a group of like defensive backs. And even on this list, the first safety on the defensive back list is at 7, and that's Tyler Newbin. And even like you said, like he's just not as a solid, I mean, he's a solid player, but he just doesn't flash off the board. So I don't particularly love any of the safeties. I think I've fallen in love with a few of the safeties, or maybe courted a few of them in my head early on. But yeah, I would totally agree. I think there's a ton of the safeties you could kind of nitpick at, but there are a few here I think value wise you can go into and grab. But I'm excited to see if anyone even grabs a safety in the first round, if anyone really is that desperate to get one, they fall in love with a guy. Eli, are you kind of on the same page with us here, or are you, is there, I know you're a Tyler Newbin guy, so I'm curious if you're kind of arguing with Rob and I, or mostly Rob. I like Newbin, but I don't think he's a first round grade, and I think that's kind of what we're trying to hit home, is like, are any of these guys really even worth a fit? Maybe if you get good value, but maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think any of these guys are going to end up going in the first round. Like, unless someone just overdrafts at the end, like very end of the first round, but I just don't see it happening. I do like Tyler Newbin, and I understand obviously the Packers care about RAS or their version of it, whatever it is, but they care about athleticism, and he scored really, really bad. You can't ignore that, which is why I have no expectation they'll draft him. Maybe if like he drops and it's like, you know, the third, fourth round, maybe if they're like, they don't love anyone else on their board and they think they could get something, because they have gone out of, you know, the draft, Jaden Reed and Amari Rodgers were both guys that did not fit their regular score. There are a couple other guys. Those are the first that came to mind. So realistically, Rob, like, I don't disagree with your assessment overall of the safety position. Like, the top two guys, like, from the start have now become two guys that basically are not really options for the Packers, and Newbin and Kitchens, which you mentioned. And, yeah, the other three guys you like happen to be, yeah, the guys that I like. I mean, it's basically – it's Bullard. I really like Hicks. And then Cole Bishop, I just see maybe just because of his athletic score, someone the Packers would go for. But overall, yeah, a pretty disappointing safety class in a year when we really need one, which I feel like happens every year.
And just to kind of – maybe there's another player in the safety group. One guy I've been kind of interested in all year is Tyke Smith. That's one that I've really, really enjoyed. I know he played next to Bullard, and Bullard's kind of the higher ranked player, but I've liked Smith's game. The one I actually kind of went into a rabbit hole the other day, or last night, was I'm probably going to eviscerate the name, but Sione Vakai. The guy from Utah who ended up playing like offense just based off the fact that they had so many guys banged up. And again, this is not an episode to say value guys, but I'm just looking straight like down these lists of guys where it's like, damn, if you're not going to end up taking one in the first or second round, third, fourth, fifth round, kind of as Eli mentioned, like that might be a spot to take them. But even then, it's like you're almost just trying to like fall in love with a guy just based off of not even need, but just like almost like a, hey, maybe it's going to work. But like to Rob's point, even to the top, like looking at some of these 40 times, these RAS scores and these sizes, they just don't, it doesn't all mesh. Like there's not a single guy that like fits. Hey, he's quick and he's a big size. It looked like Jaden Hicks. He ran a 4.6 and he's 6.2. It's like, damn, well, if you're 6.2 and you ran a 4.4, that'd be great. But like, it just doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't fall in line the way I want it to. And I think the safety group, there's plenty of guys we could just go in and chop down.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they overdraft a lot of times. I mean, you look at some of the pass drafts. I mean, there's not a Derwin James. There's not a Kyle Hamilton. There's not a Minkah Fitzpatrick. Like there's nothing even remotely close to that. Guys from like big time programs, multiple year starters, and also have the athletic scores to match. There's really not. It's almost like, you know, we're trying to talk ourselves into these guys that, you know, in a lot of cases we didn't even really know about it. They didn't really stand out during the season. That's my thing with Bishop. I mean, yes, he's good, but I didn't like when I watched a bunch of Utah games and it never seemed like he stood out. Yeah, he has a good highlight reel. I get that. But I'm saying play after play after play, you know, some of those other guys I mentioned earlier, like you knew they're in the game because they're always a part of the game. They're always a part of every play. Derwin James was always around the ball. Fitzpatrick, although like they're just always, they're ball hawks, they're tacklers, they blitz, they do everything on the team. And I see nothing remotely close to that in this draft.
No. And Utah, I mean, that defense has been so damn good for years. And a lot of those guys can just take an opportunity that they're being a starter and just get thrusted into a role. And they are very, very solid. And I feel like a lot of them that come to the league really don't end up playing that well. And the final thing I'll say is like, if you kind of the foreshadowing of the Packers spending so much money on Xavier McKinney, knowing they need a safety, it would probably tell you that they're not going to grab a safety early on. It's going to be a late pick just because like, hey, we're going to take advantage of this high-end safety we can go grab, pay some money for, but because ultimately we don't feel that the safety class is strong. So many, many players could fall into this bucket. As Rob mentioned, there's a few here and there that we might like, but truly you can kind of pick and prod many, many of these safeties that just don't fit the system. To that point, we can stay on the defensive side of the ball if Eli has one. Otherwise, I do have a defensive player, Eli. Do you have a defensive player, Eli? I guess we'll start with you.
I do
okay.
have one
do defensive it.
Player. All right, so let me just preface that it's rare that there are players that I just straight up like hate. It's really more just going to come down to value. Like, do I want this guy either the first or the second or wherever they're supposed to be valued? Do I see their value lining up there? But there are a couple guys in this draft that just I don't like their value, and I also don't really I think they're being overrated throughout the cycle. And one of them, very popular amongst Packer fans right now because of his RAS, is Payne Wilson, North Carolina. He has some nice play. He's definitely a high effort, high motor kind of player. Like, no doubt about it. He chases tackles down really impressively and goes for it. And I love that. But he weighs 233 pounds, and you could see it on the field. I mean, he can't, as a blitzer, he brings almost nothing unless he's untouched. If he gets touched by a lineman or even a running back, he's not really getting through. So that's that. And then downfield, if he gets blocked by a receiver, he's not shedding blocks and getting to the ball carrier. The way he does it is if he just has a free run. And again, he'll chase someone down 40 yards, and he has plenty of plays where he does that. And it's impressive and it's great. But at the NFL level, you know, you got to be able to do more than that. You can't just be able to, it's almost like Blake Martinez, you know, like, yeah, he'll make that tackle 5-6 yards downfield and he'll be a good tackler with it. But he's not making impact plays behind the line of scrimmage and all those kind of things. And another thing, because of his weight, is that when he tackles, he gets consistently dragged for 2-3 yards on a lot of his tackles. He's so light, these guys just kind of pull him, and, you know, he brings them down, but it's after being dragged a bit. So people are talking about him as potentially the top linebacker in this class, him or Cooper. But, you know, 41, 58, like if he's there in the second round, like I would much rather just go and get Cooper at 41, like obviously if he's there, then either obviously take Wilson or try to get Wilson at 58, or I would just wait until later in the draft for a couple other guys that, you know, I think could be interesting. Junior Colson, Cedric Gray, to name a couple. But yeah, so Payne Wilson, again, I don't think he's like an awful player, but I do think he's been overrated, and I just don't see him being able to be much of a help in run defense in the NFL.
I think it's a pretty good pick. I mean, you just saying that he's getting dragged, or he's being dragged by defenders, makes me think Jake Ryan, just like chasing guys down from behind, barely tackling them, whatever. Ton of injury concerns with Payton Wilson when you look back on it too, like major second knee injury in training camp as a freshman, had an injury as a shoulder, I believe it was his junior or senior year. So I know Rob gets a little bit more into the players than I do, or, you know, maybe even the three of us, I'll at least speak for myself, but I'm curious what Rob thinks about Payton Wilson, the kid out of NC State.
Well, the thing is with Payton Wilson, I actually had him written down two on my sheet. I was going to bring him up. So, yeah, he's an undersized linebacker. The other thing about him that doesn't really fit the Packer profile, he's 24 years old already. He was a sixth-year senior this past year. So, you know, if your highlight reel consists of running guys down 40 yards downfield, which a lot of them are, where they're like, wow, look at him, you know, catch that guy, that's a problem. You want – like Micah Parsons' highlight reel, where he's like throwing the center into the backfield and crushing ball carriers and things like that. I didn't see much of that with Payton Wilson. I saw him. I mean, he's okay. But I wouldn't think he's even a third round pick, especially at 24 years old.
Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. While it's not Packer season anymore, there's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, I mean, the 24 years old kind of sells me, to be honest. Like, I mean, he's going to be 24 in a couple days here. So it's like, yeah, I mean, and we had that a lot last week when we were talking about quarterbacks. That's going to be a trend for a few years here with the portal and everything and the COVID years and all that. But it's like, man, that's really just go. I mean, you want to talk about fit, that just does not fit with what the Green Bay Packers do, especially with a guy that's not going to come in and be a stand up, you know, plug and play starter right away for them to want to invest in that. And even at that, it just doesn't work out. I'll start with one then too. I'll stay on the defensive side of the ball. I'm hoping we'll have a polarizing one at some point. And the one I'm going to go with is Nate Wiggins. Here's a player that I think is, I'm excited to see actually what he weighs, because I've seen 185, I've seen 173. I think he's a hell of an athlete. I just get a lot of Eric Stokes vibes, uses his speed to make up for bad technique. He is young, so he would fit that. He's only 20 years old right now, but I just necessarily don't know how much I love Nate Wiggins. I think he had an extremely good sophomore season, followed up with an equally as favorable junior season with Clemson, but I just don't know if it's a guy for me. A 4.28, really, really excited about his 10-yard split, 1.59. That's amazing. I just don't necessarily know if he's going to be able to be durable enough. Now, unfortunately, to go with that argument of being durable, he really didn't miss too many games between his sophomore and junior season, so that kind of goes against it. But I just don't know if his body type can translate to the league. I don't really believe he's 185. I feel like that's just kind of an inflated amount, because I've also seen 173. So we'll see. I just don't know if a 170 corner can play in this league, and especially in a defense that really needs some durability at corner. So I'm just kind of out on Nate Wiggins, just based off of what I think he can do from a straight durability and play, more than just like, you know, a speed guy on the outside. Eli, any thoughts with Wiggins, or is this going to be the first? Is this going to be another one we all agree on thus far?
No, I will not be able to agree with you on this one.
Okay, good.
I mean, his weight is for sure a concern. Yeah, I saw 173, and that is very light for the Packers, for sure. But his ARIA, like the rest of his testing, was very Packers-y. And I loved what I saw from him on tape. I liked, number one, he just plays with classic DB energy, like in your face, a lot of energy, which I love to see. But, like, even with that weight, like, sure, he is not the greatest tackler, but he also is a much better, like, people are really attacking his tackling ability. And I think he's a better tackler than people give him credit for. And I really like him in coverage. Clearly has great ball skills when he has a chance to make a play on the ball. He is actually, I tweeted about this, and it's just true. I had a dream. Packers drafted him. I don't dream a lot anymore. Not like in a depressing way. I just don't dream a lot. The fact that I dreamt about that is, you know, significant to me. So I'm just saying that I'm like of the belief now that the Packers are drafting Nate Wiggins, and not just because I dreamt of it, but really because it just makes sense. They need a corner. I think they go corner, and I think he could very much be in the conversation.
I mean, I have to, Matt. I mean,
go ahead.
I think you need to go back to the lab here on his film, because like, I love Nate Wiggins, okay? You can always put on weight at the NFL level. They're going to get him with the training staff. They're going to get a diet for him to, you know, put on some pounds. But if that's the only thing, I mean, a 9.41 RAS, and plus when you watch him, he's an in-your-face type of corner. He's fluid hips. He reminds me a little bit about Antonio Cromartie as a guy that kind of stands out. So he's long. Yes, he's lean. But I kind of agree with Eli is I didn't see him as a horrible tackler. He's not going to – but, I mean, Deion Sanders didn't even tackle people. I'm not putting him in the same category. But, I mean, when you're looking at a cornerback, and especially in Jeff Hafley's more aggressive scheme that he's going to be playing – like, is really, like, tackling ability, and is that going to be a huge thing? I mean, just when the guy catches it, push him out of bounds, or better yet, knock it away or intercept it. Then you don't have to worry about tackling. And that's kind of where I see with him. I mean, look at over the last 2 years. He had 25 passes defensed. Yes, he did have a lot of interceptions. He only had three, but 25 passes defensed. To me, he's clearly a first-round pick, and I, to be honest with you, Jew would be thrilled if the Packers were able to pick him up at 25. I feel like he's just one of those players that just a long fluid, like his you know, just everything about him. He has, you know, good, you know, his jumping ability is a huge vertical jump. He can get up for balls. He can knock them away. He gets right in people's face. He's very good at shadowing players. So, you know, from that aspect, I think he would be a phenomenal player. Yeah. I mean, you could say, yeah, he's skinny or whatever, but I mean, like I said, he can put on weight, at least 10 to 15 pounds.
I like it. I like to be wrong. I like there's some controversy. If we'd have a 45-minute episode and we agree with each other the whole time, it's no fun. No one enjoys it. Rob, did you have another player or I guess another position group? We've hit a lot on the defense. Do we have another position group to absolutely crucify here?
I'm not going full out on the position group here, but I do have a couple players. I'll do some quick hitters if you don't mind.
Do it.
So these are the guys that I have. So I had the safety position as a whole. I'm not a huge Troy Franklin fan, a wide receiver. I know that he's been mocked to the Packers a couple times in round two. I feel like his hands aren't NFL quality. He's a body catcher, and I'm not a big body catcher fan. He has very small hands too. And I kind of like those receivers that snatch the ball out of the air. If you watch his gauntlet drill at the combine, it was brutal. I'm watching him, and it just didn't look like, you know, he had a lot of production at Oregon, but I think a lot of that had to do with the offense that he was running, the quarterback with Bo Nix, and some of the other weapons that they had. He was actually schemed into position, but I don't see clean hands out of Troy Franklin. Xavier Leggett is another guy that I know that has become very popular. I'm not sure about him, and here's the reason why. So Xavier Leggett, in his first 4 years of playing, okay, you guys ready for this? He played in 42 games and caught 41 balls. All right, take that back. Reverse it. He had played in 41 games and had 42 catches. Damn. And then last year he broke out with 73. So you have to ask yourself what happened in that 1 year that didn't happen in the other four. Now, there is a possibility, although he is 23 years old, so he's not that young, that he just got it. Like, and some guys do that. Like, some guys are take a little bit longer to develop and so on and so forth. So I'm not ruling them out, but I would say that if you play 4 years of college football and you have 42 catches in 41 games in your first 4 years, I mean, if it wasn't for the COVID year, he would have ended his senior year with like 42 catches. And just because he got that extra one, then he was able to really put it together last year. So those are my two receiver quick hitters. So I'd like to hear your thoughts there, I guess.
I like that. I'm going to let Eli get in, but I like the position group because I feel like there's so many receivers. We keep saying, hey, these receiver class is so deep, and I feel like there's names like Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, and we're like, oh, my gosh, of course, this is a guy. But, like, I feel like eventually there can't be a list of 30 long. Like, there has to be guys that just truly don't fit, and there is a question mark or two. Eli, your thoughts on the two that Rob mentioned.
Yeah, so looking at Troy Franklin and Xavier Leggett, I don't know how much sense they make specifically for the Packers. I actually like Franklin a little more maybe than Leggett, but I just feel like every year, because the draft process is so long and it's such a long wait, there's always going to be like a few guys, a group of like five guys that really soar through like these last few weeks. And I think Leggett's been one of them, and that's great, but you can't deny some of those numbers that Rob just went through. So I think it's just one of those things where people run out of things to say. You can only talk about Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers so much. So you got to start looking elsewhere to get some, you know, some content. And that's what happens. And it's not to take things away from you. You can end up being a good player. But I do think some of these guys end up getting really overblown the closer we get to the draft, because the NFL decided, let's just make it, you know, months and months after the season for no specific reason. Thank you, Roger Goodell.
I would agree with you, Eli. Like, I'm way off Leggett more than I am with Troy Franklin. I actually like Troy Franklin's game. To Rob's point, though, like, when you have a guy like Bo Nix distributing the ball, makes your job a lot easier. And with the efficiency that Bo Nix had, it's like, damn, like, maybe he was a product of that environment. Still a big body. I know Leggett is as well, but for the numbers in comparison to what Franklin put up to compare to Xavier Leggett, it's like almost they were playing a different sport. Like, he only played 3 years, Troy Franklin. He's almost got 2,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 160 grabs. And the reverse side, as Rob already mentioned, the numbers for Leggett are just not there. So I'd be more of a Franklin guy. But again, like I said, we got to start differentiating some of these receivers. I know we already talked, like Eli said, Neighbors and Harris, you know, Marvin Harrison. Where do we differentiate the other guys? Maybe they don't even fit the Packers. Maybe they are a good fit, but they just don't fit exactly what the Packers are trying to do. And I don't know if necessarily if either of those do that. I'd probably pick Franklin if I had to over Leggett. But again, it's tough to differentiate when all these receivers are being kind of coupled into one another.
Well, Matt, let me throw out a comp for you on the comp that I have for Franklin. Well,
For people that don't know, Rob is usually huge comp guy, big comp guy. He digs deep into the repertoire, and he did not do any comps for us last week. So I'm excited for the comps right now.
All right, this is not a TJ Houshmandzadeh comp, okay? We're not comping him there. I'm giving him the Jamon Moore comp.
Okay.
A guy who's a great athlete, was pretty productive at Missouri, but it's the hands. Like, you have to, like, firmly catch that ball because the defensive backs are going to be closer to you at the NFL level. So, you know, you're not going to be 5 yards open. You're not going to be like that. So they're going to be hitting at the ball. They're going to be – so you need to really have those big hands and snatch the ball out of the air. You can't bobble it and do those kind of things. So, you know, that's my take on Franklin. Jamon Moore is the same exact way. Like, the guy would be open, passing the ball, and the ball would just bobble up, and he'd have trouble catching it, and he never was able to stick with the Packers. And so that's my first comp of the year, Matt. What do you think?
I like it. I mean, I do remember, actually, now when I think about it, I was seeing highlights of Troy Franklin kind of just not securing the ball right away. I mean, man, the Jamon Moore, if that's his hands, I don't want him. Like, that's if that's what Troy Franklin has, there's no way I want him on the team, because it's not gonna work. And you need a guy that's not a body catcher, or not even necessarily a body catcher, just a guy that can actually have secure mitts at the next level, because guys are gonna be able to break up the pass. And just like we talked about those safeties, like, you might be able to get away with having some of those last second plays, but when it's coming with fractions of the second in the league with so much speed, yeah, you don't want a guy like Jamon Moore on your team. That's 100%. One player I have, guys, and man, maybe I'm going to get dunked on by both of you, but it's another position group that I feel like is similar to the safety group, but there's not really like a head and shoulders guy out there. And I'm going to go with a guy that has been highly touted in the state of Wisconsin for years and years and years, a player that is an absolute freak of nature, but just, I don't know if he translates to the league. Yes, he's super, super freak athlete. He's strong as hell, but I don't know if he does enough at the running back position to be a guy that I want the Packers to have, and that's Braylon Allen. Now, I know he's super young, and he's a freak, right? He can get under he can probably squat more than us three combined. But at the end of the day, I don't know if he's that good of a pass catcher. I do feel like he did have some issues with his offensive line this last year, which made it a little bit more difficult for him to be productive. And it would be a far easier sell for me right now if he didn't run a 4.440, because I actually never thought he would get that high of a 40. But I just don't know if Braylon Allen's a guy that I want the Packers to draft based off of the pressure that would be on him being such a tremendous athlete in the state of Wisconsin. Yes, he also is a younger player, which does help for where they would want to acquire him. But I just don't know if he's the type of running back they need. I think they do need to get a guy that would complement a Josh Jacobs or an A.J. Dillon, and I just don't think Braylon Allen would be a guy like that. I'm going to go to Rob first, so I can at least wait if Eli doesn't agree with me on this one. But, Rob, your thoughts on Braylon Allen if he were to not fit the offense for the Packers?
Okay, I have to congratulate you, Matt. So I took back everything that you said.
Thank goodness.
What's kind of funny is I was on the radio today, 97.3 The Game, and the topic of Braylon Allen came up. And I'm not a big fan of his lateral quickness. I feel like he doesn't have kind of that shiftiness in the hole. You always want to look at these guys that do like the jump cuts and look at all the best running backs in the NFL. They're really good at picking out a hole. They can kind of shimmy back and forth. They can get through that line, and then they're juking the linebackers and they're to the house. Christian McCaffrey's a master at it, where he's shifting around in the hole. He's kind of gets lost in there for a little bit, and also he shoots out and he's down the field. I see none of that with Braylon Allen. I see him as like a poor, like a homeless man's Derrick Henry type of player. And I actually saw them working out together. And I actually used an offensive term on the radio, but I won't repeat it. But he looked like a little person compared to Derrick Henry.
He did, though. He did.
And I'm thinking, like, wow, like, how big is Derrick Henry? Because he looked very small compared to him. And it's just that's kind of the type of his game. He's kind of a one-cut runner. Yes, he has good speed. He has good long speed. But I'm not seeing the shiftiness. I'm not seeing any of that stuff within the hole, which you kind of need to be a good NFL running back.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Eli? Are we?
Yeah.
Obviously, you saw the picture. I mean, the Derrick Henry to Braylon Allen picture was absurd. I never thought in a million years they looked that different. But is Braylon Allen a running back that would fit the Packers or not?
I mean, I really agree with what you said, which is that when you have Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon, do you need another downhill kind of like bruiser running back? Which Braylon Allen, I mean, like Rob said, he's not known for his side to side quickness or agility. So I think you need someone who's going to be number one. I mean, Josh Jacobs is good in the receiving game, but I think you want to have someone you can bring in on third downs who can catch the ball and be good at that. And someone who I think gives you that upside. Like I'm looking for, you know, maybe someone like Jalen Wright, just like quick, fast kind of guy who doesn't need to necessarily get 15 plus touches to make a big impact. You know, you could get 5-6 carries and maybe one of those breaks for 40 yards and you could go out there, maybe catch the ball. So I agree. Braylon Allen, I'm sure a lot of Packers / Wisconsin fans won't be happy to hear it. It's the right call.
No, people aren't going to be happy, and that's okay.
I agree 100%. Like guys like Shipley, like I'd rather have Shipley. I'd rather have Corum than him. You know, Trey Benson, like Jalen Wright you had mentioned. So, I mean, amongst those guys, a guy that's going to bring something different and new to the team, not just like another A.J. Dillon clone who, I mean, do we need that? Probably not.
No. I thank you for saying that. I didn't know if that was too close to home to say like a comp between Allen and A.J. Dillon, but it's like if the roles were reversed, maybe if A.J. Dillon left, Aaron Jones was retained, maybe Braylon might be fit, but I don't think he's a complement of what we would need right now necessarily. And I think his pass protection, like Eli said, if you want to get him in on third down, just doesn't necessarily work. Those are the two I had, you guys. This list could be extensive. We haven't necessarily named any interior guys, offensive lineman or defensive lineman. Rob's got two, as he just points up. Love that. Rob, what do you got?
Okay, so I have one on offense, one on defense.
Hell yeah.
The one that I'll start out with the defensive one because I've heard him as – and both of these are considered first-round picks, so this may be a hot take that I'm throwing out there, but I don't like Darius Robinson out of Missouri, and I know that he's been a kind of a popular pick. The fact is you look at the guy, and he looks like an Adonis. Like, he'd be like the first guy. He's like, all right, Darius, you're off the bus first, because, you know, it'll probably intimidate the other team because he's a massive individual. The problem is he plays so stiff, and he's just so he doesn't have any explosiveness. He has no counter moves. Everything that he did production wise basically consisted of him overpowering a smaller man than him. But the thing is, at the NFL level, like, all the offensive tackles are big boys. Like, they can hold their own. They can hold their ground. So you're not going to get those overpowering plays for the most part. Also, what really cemented that for me is at the combine, I thought he looked horrible in the on-field drills. He just looked clumsy. He looked stiff. He didn't really have the lateral quickness that you look for, no explosiveness. I mean, his RAS score wasn't terrible, which is actually kind of a surprise to me, but I just felt like his on-field drills, and I pay close attention to the on-field drills at the combine, because I want to see how you move around, your explosiveness, your quickness, in and out of breaks, those type of things, which I feel for an edge rusher is very, very important, that explosiveness up the field. And he just didn't do it for me.
Rob, real quick, on the RAS for Robinson. Number one, Robinson was on my list as well, so that's that makes me feel better about that. But, yes, he had an 866 RAS as a defensive tackle, but as a defensive end, I don't know if you saw it, he has two RASs because he played both in college. His RAS as a defensive end is 4.01.
That's what I saw on tape. And
So he, I mean, and he projects as an edge in the NFL, the way, I mean, in my opinion. So the Packers, you know, the edge, I actually wouldn't be like upset or crazy shocked if they drafted an edge relatively high. But I just, I don't want it to be Darius Robinson for most of the reasons Rob just said.
I love that. Offensive lineman, Rob?
I have one more, and this guy's a very popular Dallas Cowboy popular pick. Tyler Guyton is a big boy. What turned me off from him, okay, and there's one thing. I thought his play tape was pretty good. But my problem with out of Oklahoma is an offensive tackle. I thought that he got steamrolled at the Senior Bowl practices, and I pay really close attention to that as well, because I like to see those one-on-one matchups with the defensive players, and it just seemed like he was getting beat time and time and time again. And every time that there was like a highlight tape of a defensive player, it seemed like it was always against Tyler Guyton, that you know, he was either getting beat inside, he was getting beat around the corner, and I know he's popular, and his tape looks pretty good, so I'm not saying 100% I'm out on him. But I don't know about a top 20 pick.
He has been a very volatile player, I feel like, in mock drafts, like Guyton. I picked him in a couple, and I feel like he's been very polarizing. Like, that's just the way I've observed. I think a lot of it is, like, he's very versatile, but he's also a massive human being that it's just, like, how versatile can you be at that level? Eli, I think I saw a head nod from you on Guyton, if you agreed. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts on Guyton?
I like him, honestly. Like, most of what I saw of him, I actually did like. For me, it's more just thinking specifically Packer related. I do think he's a little bigger than what they generally go for. I don't, you know, because of that size, I also, like you just said, I don't think he gives them really any flexibility. You know, you're not really going to be able to kick him into guard. And right now, you can make the argument the Packers have a bigger need at interior line than tackle. So I think if they're going to go offensive line early, they're going to want someone with flexibility or just an outright interior lineman, which could be the pick. But I had one on the offensive line as well, and it's a player that has been getting a ton of hype lately. It's Amarius Mims, Georgia tackle. And it's really for, you know, it's for a number of reasons. First off, he's like 6'7", 6'8", which again is way above where the Packers generally draft. And I know they break thresholds, and I know there's been that whole argument on Twitter about thresholds. So I'm not going to get into that right now, but it would be a big tendency breaker. So while they do happen, it still would be rare. But 8 career starts, you know, that is concerning. He played 803 snaps in his entire career in college. Most offensive linemen, for sure the ones being talked about in the first round, they played more snaps than that this year alone, let alone their entire career. He, you know, he has trouble staying healthy. He even hurt himself at the combine, I believe, while he was running his 40. He kind of hurt his hamstring, which messed up with his pro day and all that. So it's like, I see the upside, 100%. He has athleticism, and he's a huge person. And if he can put it together and stay on the field, he really, you know, he could maybe be a Trent Williams type of just brick wall. But I think there's just too many question marks about experience, health, size. We don't, like, a lot of times, like, I just feel like these tackles that come in that are 6'7 plus, 6'8, a lot of them, you know, they just don't stay healthy. They get one kind of injury, and then it's really hard for them to get back from it. So if you were to, if it was a second round pick with 2 second-round picks this year, sure, I would be in on the upside. But at 25th overall, it's just, it's, there's too many questions. Like, for me, I'd like to eliminate question marks going into the draft, and I just feel like he has too many to be a first round pick for me.
All right, so you and Ross Uglum are sharing your bottles of barbecue sauce to smother on the tweet when Amarius Mims is possibly selected. Rob, are you an Amarius Mims guy? I feel like, has probably been waiting for Amarius Mims to be brought up for this entire season of draft stuff coverage from Packaday. I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
I'm dying to talk about him. So the thing is with me is I feel that where the Packers are in their kind of development is that they've have a pretty strong base of players. I think that they're pretty solid. They have good players at every position, but I feel like there's one place that they're lacking is, at least recently, like elite level players on their team, like superstar level players. They have a lot of, you know, if you want to use a baseball reference, they have a lot of like number three pitchers on their team, which are very serviceable and you need them. But now I'm kind of looking for the Packers to sort of like really go for that ace in the hole. I feel like with Mims, like if you can look back 5-10 years from now and you look at this draft, like I feel that Mims could be one of those guys that you look back and say, well, what did we miss on that? Maybe he was a little bit inexperienced, yes, but the talent oozes. I mean, we look at the 9.53 RAS score, you look at the size, you look at the lateral quickness. In those 8 games that he played, he was pretty dominant. And I felt like he was a very strong, like you can't move in a run game. Forget about it. He's opening holes for every running back. He's a lot quicker than you'd think for a guy that size out of his stance. But I just feel like he has that star potential that could be like an all pro level player for the Packers. And if there is a year, you know, with Jordan Love coming into his own and with the kind of the team that we have built right now, to kind of take a chance on that high upside, this would be the year. And if he doesn't pan out, so be it. We still have Rashid Walker on the team. We still have we can have. I don't know if they're moving Zach Tom inside to center or not, but they don't have to. It's not a requirement, and they have some of that position versatility on some of those other guys. So let's just pretend it doesn't work out for them. Like, I'd rather have just taken the chance on it and go for it and potentially getting that all pro level player. And he's one of the few guys in the draft that I feel will be available that has that type of potential. And I'll take Kirby Smart to his word, as he said, guys, don't pass up on this guy. Like, he's been blocking for some of the most elite level first round against the elite level first round picks along that Georgia defensive line for years. So you may not have seen him every game. You might have only seen him 8 games. But he's practicing every day against, you know, guys like Jordan Davis, Trevon Walker, some of those, Jalen Carter. Like, those are the types of guys. Devontae Wyatt was even there when he was a freshman. So, you know, you're looking at the level of talent that he's playing against every single day, day in and day out. And Kirby Smart said flat out, don't pass this guy. Like, he's legit. So injuries, yes, a concern. But I feel like at 25, let's take a shot on and see what happens.
No, sorry, real quick, Matt, just – I have written down, like, literally, I see him as like one of the most like boom bust kind of players, only because, yeah. Because I just see him as his ceiling. Like you said, like his ceiling could be incredible. Like I said, it could be Trent Williams type of player, but his floor, I feel like there's almost no floor. So that's what makes me nervous.
Yeah. And that's understandable. I just feel like with this year, like if he would have been coming out last year, I would have been like, okay, so the Packers need to take an established guy and so on and so forth. But I just feel that now with the level that our team's at, like we need a guy that's going to be like a bookend that potentially could be like a bookend that's going to just be there for 10 years protecting Jordan Love and just where you just can set that position, forget about it, and then they can concentrate on other things, you know, at other places. So that's kind of where my head is at. And if it busts, like, I mean, yeah, it's going to suck. But I feel like we have enough backing him up that if he doesn't pan out, that there'd be kind of that ability to kind of make up for it.
And that's kind of where I'm at, too. It's like, he's such a freak. And yes, I think it's very easy to put doubt in your mind. Like, got tweaked up at the combine. Never good. Only started 8 games. Not a ton of tape on that. But man, when you get outside the top 4, 5, 6 picks, everything's a lottery pick. Like everything you're trying to shoot for, it's like you might as well shoot for a guy that's got an absolute, you know, just enormous size, and maybe they're not too comparable, but I think they did the same thing with Rashawn Gary, right? Limited amount of snaps that he had in college, played on the opposite side of, you know, a really good defensive end in college in Chase Winovich, and all of a sudden he's developed long enough to be able to really, really solid. I don't know if he comes in with Mims and is a day one starter, and maybe he doesn't have to be, like Rob said, with Rashid Walker and Zach Tom there, and obviously we know they brought in Dillard earlier this week, but it's like, I don't know, maybe he's got an opportunity to develop and get a little bit stronger, a little bit more nimble, or not stronger, a little bit more nimble. I don't know. I think Amarius Mims is a great one to end this episode. I don't know if you guys have another one to throw out there. Eli, you got anything? Rob seemed very satisfied with the ones he was skeptical on. I like it. I like it, boys. As we wrap, you guys, I don't know. I was thinking about this before we recorded. Like, we only did two of these episodes, and next week we're going to be breaking down the day two review, and which will be a late night for us on Friday night, and then the day three preview, which is always great because we get done with these 2 days of crazy amount of picks, and all of a sudden it's like, who is still out there? Who is still on the draft board? Holy hell, I thought this guy would be in the top 50 and he's not there. It's going to be a really, really exciting time to kind of dive into the draft more. Of course, if you guys haven't subscribed to Packaday Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, please do so. You're missing out on a ton of content that's right at your thumbs, fingertips, however you're digesting it. And of course, if you ever haven't already checked out the YouTube side of Packaday Podcast, almost up to 25,000 subs, pretty significant from Andy Herman and the team over there. Please go over to YouTube, subscribe, because it's additional content you guys continue to digest. As we're recording this, I'm actually going to be heading to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers game for the Packaday Podcast meetup on this Friday night. It's going to be a blast. Obviously, I won't be able to tease it beforehand, so I hope I'll see everyone there tonight, but that's going to be a great time. Timber Rattler Stadium, Andy Herman's holding it down there. It should be a great night to meet up with some people. And again, if you haven't already followed Packaday Podcast on Twitter, please do so. That's where you can curate your entire algorithm and your feed to be absolutely only Packers content, only the most important news. For myself, Matt Frelick, you can still find me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. Eli, I'll throw it over to you. I know you got some content still coming down. I think you even have an episode to record tonight yet for some other stuff you got going down. And of course, you're just dabbling in the NBA right now, which I know is full swing with the playoffs, which is you're running double time. You got draft coverage and you got the playoffs you're kind of trying to thread the needle on. So let everyone know what you got going on.
Yeah, it has been a lot, honestly, with the playoffs starting, but it's exciting. So yeah, you can find everything over on Twitter at @BookofEli_NFL and my writing over at PackerReport.com. And as Matt just mentioned, head over on Twitter and follow _ML_basketball.
Love that. Love that. Rob, I know you did some hits this week for the radio. You'll have a ton leading up to next week. Let everyone know what kind of content you're putting out these days, where they can listen to you on the airwaves, where they can read all of your content on Twitter.
Yes, I will be on the radio daily, 97.3 The Game, 97.3 The Game, about 3:30 Central Time, 4:30 Eastern. They usually have me on there. I also write for the Cheesehead TV draft guide. You have 1 week left to purchase that. I do the quarterbacks. I do the small school sleepers. Puka Nacua made my list last year, so I'm kind of proud of that and hanging my hat on that. And you can follow me on Twitter at NFL Draft Regs, R-E-G-S. Thanks.
Love it. And you're a supportive father as well, going to a volleyball tournament, I know, this weekend. So you got so much going on. But for Eli Berkovitz, Rob Rieger, I'm Matt Frelick. You guys take care. Be well. Enjoy the last week, I guess, and weekend of no NFL drafts, because it's going to be a crazy next week. I'm sure there'll be trades coming down the line here, and there's already some transactions this week in the league as well. You guys take care. Be well. And as always, go Pack. Go Pack. Go.